Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a little pop of bite-sized magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes provide daily news, book releases, witch fails, and more. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
A special segment today. We're talking with medium and witch Danielle Dion. Danielle Dion is a psychic medium, herbalist, and witch. She runs Moth and Moon Studio, a spiritual education center located in Bedford, New Hampshire. Her eclectic practice draws upon a vast foundation of mediumship, occultism, healing arts, witchcraft, herbalism, and root work. Danielle is a priestess in the Temple of Witchcraft tradition and serves as Scorpio Deputy Minister for Death, Dying, and Bereavement and Ancestral Connection. She is a hospice volunteer and strong supporter for the Death Positive Movement, hosting death cafes, helping people discuss death and make the most of their finite lives. Most recently, she has authored a new book, Magical Mediumship, Partnering with the Ancestors for Healing and Spiritual Development, coming out through Llewellyn Worldwide in fall 2020. Danielle lives on a goat farm in southern New Hampshire. So hi, Danielle. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. I'm really excited to talk with you today. And also really happy because we do have a reader question we're going to ask you at the end. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited because this is a question that came in a little while ago and I wasn't sure how to approach it. So I'm so happy to have you on so we can talk about it.
Very cool.
So for anyone listening who is unfamiliar, can you tell us the difference between being a medium and being a psychic?
Yes. And actually, anybody who comes to see me for a session, I often will explain this in the beginning because I think people do get different ideas about what are we looking for when we sit down to have a connection. So mediumship is connecting to deceased. So it's connecting to the dead. And in a mediumship session, which I know we'll talk a little bit more about, the idea of doing this connection work is to bring through evidence, essence, and a message from somebody in spirit. So somebody who is deceased. It is using the same faculties that we do in psychic work, which may be, you know, connecting to past, present, future, feeling the flow of energy, using all of the clairs. We can apply all of that to mediumship work. It's using a lot of the same techniques, but the focus of connecting to the dead is why mediumship is sort of a different way than psychic.
Yeah. Do you feel that people are born this way or that they can develop mediumship?
I feel like we are born this way and we can develop it. So it's a good question. I think that we have been connecting to the ancestors, to the dead, across traditions, across time forever. We've been venerating, working with them, honoring them. We have lots of different death traditions. I think we all have that innate ability, and our ancestors and loved ones do come around us and partner with us. I think we live in an interesting time where we are kind of separated from that. But I think it is also something that can be developed. And a lot of times people that come to formal mediumship development have had some kind of catalytic event that has either sort of spurred the interest, has had, you know, caused experiences to start happening to them. And so then there is that sort of focus of how do you control that or how do you work with it in a way that is beneficial to you as the medium, but also maybe to other people if you're them bringing messages through. So yes, formal development, sitting and practicing and working with the spirits is a great way to figure out how you work. But I think also forming an ancestral practice in some way really helps deepen your connection and can be something that expedites and opens that potentiality to do ancestor work and work with the ancestors in your own life and for other people. So yes, both.
So for those who do feel like they have a natural knack or who have had some experiences communicating with the dead, whether it be in a professional setting or not, how can people go about learning to develop their mediumship abilities?
Absolutely. So I think, being guided by them is sort of a good key focus in the beginning. So, and also question yourself, what do you want to do with this? I think sometimes people you know, maybe are interested in it, and it's sort of, you know, kind of that hobby aspect of things, like, oh, this is cool, I'm getting information, but it can be something that's really guiding on your spiritual path. So for me, I've been teaching development groups for over 10 years now, and so a lot of the influence that I have while I walk a witch's path, I feel like it is a very crooked road, I have a lot of spiritualism influence. And so through spiritualism, which is basically religion, philosophy, that the, you know, we are able to connect with the dead, and that there is a continuation of life after death, even though that may be different. We may have different views and feelings on kind of what happens there. Those techniques through spiritualism really helped me focus, understand how to connect with the energies, and bring through with clarity pieces of evidence, essence, and messages. So there are definitely lots of activities, or definitely different ways that you could go about development work. But one thing that I think we can all do is, you know, if we create an ancestor altar, or if we create a place in our home to honor our dead, and just start carving out some time to acknowledge them, to honor them, and invite them to participate in our life, we will see results. And I think that is something that time and time again, I continue to be surprised with, and grateful for what they bring personally to me, not even how the work that I do, you know, in mediumship sessions, bringing things through. But when we add that to sort of our spiritual development and spiritual path, it can be so much more. But yes, there's lots of different ways to go about it. And I think whatever you feel most called to, explore that. That's sort of been kind of how I've rolled with things. And it's led me to really beautiful synthesis of different processes to something that works for me.
So I have a little bit of a tangent question, and this, I did not preface this, but this, because it's something I've heard. So I'm someone who does have like a little bit of a natural ability to communicate with the dead, but I don't do it for people. And it's not something I have really any interest in, like, professionally pursuing. I've heard people say that that's selfish, that if you have the ability, you should be using it to help people. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you are a people, so I think, can you work with yourself to bring, you know, guidance, clarity? Can you partner with them in your own life? I don't think that everybody who is open to the deceased wants to work in a professional way. I can understand completely why in many regards. But I think if you're called to that, you can certainly develop it. But for you as a person, you have ancestors, you have family, you have a bloodline, you have, you know, ancestors that are not necessarily connected through bloodline, but are still part of that ancestral collective that you have access to. And I think when we start to pay attention to them and open up and invite them to, again, kind of come in and participate in our life, they're ecstatic to have somebody paying attention to them, because you may be the first person in your family for a very long time to say, oh, I am really connected to this. Maybe not. Maybe you have other people in your family that have done it. But I think when we start to pay attention to them, they pay attention to us. They get us more in sync with the things that we need to deal with. So even, for example, everything that's going on in the world right now, one of the things that I've been finding myself doing at my ancestor altar to connect in is connecting to my specific ancestors that lived during plague times, that have faced this. I think the reason we work with the dead, and it's not selfish at all, it's human, is because they have walked this path before. They've had a human life. They understand our pain, they understand our joys, and they have that person, perspective on things, that human experience. So I don't think it's selfish at all to work with it in your own capacity. And there may be times in your life that you're called to work with them in a particular way. So I think death work, doing mediumship, it's kind of all the same. I know not everybody would agree and love that term, death work. We need to embrace that culturally. But you know, I think everyone's going to know someone who's going to die, obviously. And we might be in situations where we're there with somebody, sitting with somebody. And I can tell you from doing hospice experiences, from my own family experiences, our ancestors collectively come around us. They are there for us in that process. And when we're in tune with that, that can be really beneficial to that process, whether it's the actual dying process, if that's psychopomp work, that may be something that people are called to, which is different than the mediumship, but is also kind of in that same bucket. There are many facets of this, and I don't think it's selfish at all to not want to sit and read for clients. I think that's one beautiful way that can bring healing and empowerment, but it's not the only way. So I think listen to what you're guided for, and I think to anybody who's connected into this, see where you feel and know that that may be something that waxes and wanes and changes over time, but paying attention to it, I think, is just a really good idea for all humans, regardless of our spiritual path or place in this world.
Something you touched upon is that that you're doing ancestral work with us, you know, ancestors you had who lived through plagues and that sort. And it's really interesting you say that, because just the other, I think it was like just last night or the night before, it dawned on me that anyone living right now had ancestors who survived plague and disease. And so it was just this like moment of like literally everyone alive right now had ancestors who went through that. Yes. And so like part of us is prepared in some way.
Yes. And I think we can listen to that, and that helps us calm and prepare and be tapped into that current. So I said plague, but I was really thinking about Spanish influenza because may be able to, and plague, absolutely. And all of the, you know, diseases and epidemics and things that have come before, it's in human history. It's there. We maybe haven't experienced that in our life and in our generations. But a lot of us know, even in our bloodline, we can go back that far. It's not that far, 100 years, to say, okay, I have grandparents and you know, people in my line that have faced this. And I might even know some of the stories behind that. And so talking with family about it too, if you're fortunate enough to be connected to your blood family, oh, this might be a good time to just be like, oh, share with me what you remember about so-and-so. If you have a grandmother who's alive and she remembers her grandmother or her mother, any recollection of this. Sometimes it's nice when we can bring those pieces into our practice, but we might not have that. And that's totally okay too. Then we listen directly and we see what we receive for messages, and we ask them to stand behind us and by us and walk with us as we move forward into this kind of uncertain time.
I really like that. That's really nice. So I know mediums connect in a million different ways. I know some mediums connect through like a filter spirit. Some mediums, every medium just works differently. So for you, how does a session look like? Like, how do you get over there?
Yeah. So many different ways, many different paths. Find what works for you. I work very spiritualistly and witchy. So before I allow anybody into my space, I have an education center. I have an office where I do most of this work, although we're online these days. So here we are. I think spiritual hygiene is a really important thing. So I like to cleanse and clear my space. I have a process that I go through, sort of setting the intention of the energy, connecting and opening up to my guides, going through sort of a formal process that is sort of my pregame prior to sitting with the client. And then if somebody's coming in for a session, we invite them in, you know, I'll get them tea, try to make them comfortable, because it's a very vulnerable position for somebody to come in and sit with you. And, you know, you're hoping to bring through, a lot of people are grieving. So you're wanting to do more healing and empowerment than harm. And I think that's a really big key. And so, again, we don't get always the control over who shows up at our door. I try to tell people, you know, work through your bereavement, your grieving process, come at a time when you can be a good container to be open to receive the messages. That's not always the case. But for the most part, people are more, I have good luck, but I also sort of energetically set that intention. But I think that, you know, you want to have people that are willing to receive and be in a good space. So I would invite them in. I would explain, just like we did before, difference between psychic and mediumship. Even if they're like, I definitely want a mediumship reading, let me tell you what that is before we start, because you may be like, actually, I want cards, or I want to know what's going on and something else. So do that. And then we sit and we set intentions, and we call in the allies, and we call in the ancestors, and we ask the beloved dead to show up and be present with them, because that's the whole reason we're doing it. So we kind of really set the intention for that work to come through. I explain to them my process. So I'll do it real quick if that's all right. So what would I say to people? So we're going to connect for mediumship. So basically trying to bring through some evidence, essence, and a message for you today. I always tell people to be open, because I think this is important. While you may be wanting to hear from one particular individual or individuals, often we will get to them. Most of the time we're getting to the people that people want to hear from, but you leave it open, because I think sometimes, you know, we know coworkers, we know in-laws, the people that we're not necessarily wanting to hear from or really thinking of, sometimes they come through, and that can be really important. So there may be a message that they really need to convey in some way, or they're going to be the one that sort of helps facilitate bringing through somebody else. So I work in that way. I'm not using a gatekeeper, but I think for the process that I am allowing to kind of happen, sometimes we'll present one to me. So I know you were kind of mentioning before, some people work through another energy. I have kind of a collective open energy, but it's more direct for me. But sometimes somebody will step in to do that work. I think that can happen there. And then, you know, I tell people I might see things, hear things, feel things, know things. Things may just drop in. So yes, no, I don't know is important in the process. I might see, I have a very specific symbol language, and I think you can develop symbol languages the more you work with spirit and in your own practices, maybe even with deities and other entities and energies that you work with. That can be really, really beneficial to the process. But I also might reference things from my life. So I think the more that we know, the more that we have access to, the more that we have something as a data point that spirit can pull from, that can be really beneficial to getting specific evidence with things. So knowing things is helpful. And I tell people, don't feed the medium, because just like them, I want to make sure that I feel the link and that I'm in the link, because that's the whole point. You're trying to get into this link with spirit. So you're opening up energetically, you're raising your vibration, you're allowing spirit to then come forward, and you're trying to make this magical connection happen. But if I know your whole situation, it gets more challenging, because I'm going to get heady about it. I'd rather be a clear vessel and allow things to come through that I'm seeing and then be validated, so I feel very confident that we're in that link. And so that's really sort of what we're trying to do in that session. And yeah, those are sort of the main things that I would highlight for somebody. And then I would ask if they have questions, and we would sit and we would go into it.
Oh, I love that. And yeah, I definitely love the term don't feed the medium.
Yeah. I will sometimes shush.
Yes, because it's so frustrating. I'll often read cards, and my best readings come from complete strangers.
Yes.
If I don't know anything about you, I'm going to be giving you the clearest information that like my own head isn't trying to... make sense of. I have a little bit of a tangent question.
Sure.
So I was listening, this is just per happenstance. I listened to the podcast, Ghost Magnet, with Bridget Marquardt, that I love it. It's such an array of stuff. And she was interviewing a medium, last night, and he was talking about, self-editing, when maybe he's getting information, but he doesn't know if he wants to share the information. Mm-hmm. And he used an example where he was doing a reading, but it was in front of the dead's multiple loved ones, like 20 mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
And and he was saying that, the wife asked a question, but the answer he got, he wasn't sure if he should say it in front of these 20 mm-hmm. people. And then he said he found out that, like, the dead isn't going to tell you information that you can't share. Do you think that's true? Do you ever self-edit?
I would say that I try to bring ethics into any work that I do. So if it's going to be not helpful, healing, and empowering, or if it's in a situation where I think it's more, so like more to the situation, if it's something that I think is more of a private nature, I might hold that, even though it could be stellar evidence. So I do demonstration work and I do sit, and you could, and this is where it becomes a challenge. You could say amazing evidence, but it could be portrayed in a way that is not going to be beneficial to the person receiving it. And so I do think that there is a key to how we hold that information. Sometimes the information I think is for the medium. So an example might be, you see a really gruesome car accident and you see a really tragic death scene. They already know that that happened. You don't have to go into the detail of like, oh, I see this person's head bashed in and all this terrible stuff, which is not how it always is shown to me. But on occasion, if there's something specific, I don't think they waste information that they show to us, but it may be because it's drawing a connection for the medium to then get something through. But I would maybe self-edit where I don't describe the whole scene, because again, that's going to be upsetting and not empowering. They already know those details. But if it's something that is about a message that may be specific and private for somebody, I might pull them aside afterwards, or I might ask their permission. I think permission is always important as well. So I have something that may be, a little bit challenging to hear. I'm not sure, because knowing again that like, while we trust our process, we are not 100%. That we have a filter that we are receiving information through, and we can only use it in the best way that's possible. So asking permission, being still able to deliver, but being sensitive about the ethics of who is hearing that message and how, and being cognizant of the way that we describe what is coming to us, I think sort of are the key components about that. Does that make sense?
That makes a ton of sense. What is one thing about the dead you think people maybe misunderstand? Like, do you see common things float around? You're like,
I think it's just that like people don't think that they can connect. Like all the time people are like, oh, I'm blocked, I can't hear them. And I'm like, are you listening? Are you actually like taking steps to do that work? Because I think we sort of self-block ourselves by saying that we are not open to it, but we actually haven't done the work. And so I'm not saying that you have to be like oming for hours at your altar and like, making a giant shrine in order to make this happen. But I am saying that like, if you don't think that it's working for you, try it a different way, because they are. I don't think that we can be as blocked as we sort of sometimes tell ourselves we can be.
That's interesting. And it's funny, I think, you know, the people, because there are people who genuinely think they can't connect. And sometimes I'll just kind of forget where I am or what I'm doing, but I'll just like mention to someone like an experience I had recently, like, oh, I was trying to go to sleep and this happened. Ugh, how annoying. And they're like, you know, they're showing me this and I don't want to see that. And then like my friend will just stare at me like, that's the most terrifying thing I've ever heard. Like, how do you just deal with this all the, like, constantly? And it's just like, well, you just get, I don't know. Is it like desensitized, like you're desensitized, you're just used to it. Like, what do you think? Do you think there's like a protective measure we have in place, or maybe, you know?
Yeah. Yes. And so it's funny. So yeah, I'm like, yes, all these things. So a lot of times people, when they're opening up to it, or we're doing this work and we don't have quite the process of like, exactly, how do we filter this? Like, how do we make appropriate times for it? When I started to be opening up more and more to it, I would have just the same sort of thing. Like, I would see faces at night. And it wouldn't be like cognizant, like coherent things. Like, what do I do with this? It was just sort of these experiences happening. And again, it's kind of like just back to that question of like, oh, did I talk to them? Did I ask them to cut that shit out? Like, so for me, I ended up kind of creating a rule, no spirits in the bedroom. And so this is not the appropriate time for you to come to me. But what I will do, and this is the partnership and kind of the way that you start to, the more you work with them, the more that you're able to kind of lay boundaries down. And I think boundaries are really important with the dead and any sort of energy that you may be working with. To say, I'm going to sit at my altar and I'm going to do this work in the world. And so when it's important, you can come to me in those times and I will do my best to get through to whoever I can for you, but I'm not cold calling people. I'm not going to be to Teresa Caputo and with the nails in the hair walking down the street telling you your dead mom's here. But I will say, get me in front of that person and get me their permission and I will gladly deliver this message. And more often than not, the right situation arises, whether that's in a client session or all of a sudden I fall into a situation where, oh, we're talking about death and like something's coming up. And again, being permission based is important, but allowing that to then kind of come forward. So that has helped me not have the crazy dreams and things. Doesn't mean it's 100% perfect. And I think there are times where I'm allowing my ancestors to come through and give me guidance in dreams. I just don't want like rogue folks being like knock, knock, knock at, you know, in the middle of the night when I need to sleep. So finding ways to do that is really beneficial, I find. And when we don't understand something, ask for clarity, ask for somebody intercessing for you. If you have another connection that isn't even ancestral, like if you have a deity that you work with or another spirit, hey, can you help me figure this out? The more that we ask, the more that we receive. I think that we just sometimes forget that we can have a two-way conversation instead of just allowing whatever's happening to us and sort of feeling at the mercy of whatever is coming up.
It's funny, that rogue thing is so true. So I've always had that a little bit, but it was never too interfering with life. But ever since I moved to New Orleans, I found I was like, you know, I've noticed I can't sleep without the TV on. And I never used to be like that. I used to sleep in like complete darkness. And then I realized when I would turn the TV off, it would just be like faces, voices, da, da, da. And I'm like, so now I have to sleep with the TV on or I don't sleep.
Yeah.
But that's something new, because that wasn't something I was dealing with, and maybe I guess less concentrated, I guess, areas. Yep. Whereas now it's just like, choo, 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 and it's like,
New Orleans is Scorpio City. Like, that place has a beat. Like, that place is, you know, it's palpable. You can feel the energy. You can feel the sex and death. Intense experiences in New Orleans. So I totally get that. I'm not surprised. And I think, you know, but you can still negotiate with that if you can. Like, I would say, be open to it and say, yes, I feel this. How can this be in a mutually beneficial way? How can I get in touch with the spirits of the land? So ancestral connections through the land and place. New Orleans has so much to it that there may be things that you need to do boundary work around, because it's not something that's wanted or invited or that's actually going to be beneficial to you, but it might be. So like tapping into that current and saying, hey, I also do need to sleep, and how do I, you know, work with this may be beneficial here. Is a suggestion, but like, yeah, I think.
Oh yeah.
Interesting.
Open to suggestions. So we have a question from a reader. This came a little while ago. So this reader says, hello, my name is Amanda, and I've been a practicing witch for 30 years. I am a fairly new listener to the podcast. I've binge listened many of them now, though, and I would like to ask you a question about witches and death. So this is why I was really happy to talk with you, because I thought this would be perfect.
Perfect.
Amanda continues, I have stage 3 lung cancer. I was doing radiation, chemotherapy, and immunotherapy. The treatments were working, the tumor cells were shrinking, but my body was not reacting well to the treatments. I was getting sick constantly, running fevers and nausea, so bad that I couldn't eat and lost 60 pounds in 4 months. Very scary to me, and got to the point that my oncologist and I decided it was time to consider quality of life over quantity. I'm working with hospice care, treating the symptoms of this terrible disease, and we are concentrating on comfort right now. With all of this happening, I am obviously thinking about this next stage of my life. I'm having trouble finding much information about the views of death from a witch's point of view. I am a solitary, eclectic witch. I believe in reincarnation. I believe that we are all reunited with our loved ones at the end of our journey. I have a view that we as a human race start our journey on one side of a forest, and our goal is to reach the other side of the forest. Each new step, change in path to avoid a tree or hole, etc., changes our spiritual journey. This is how I see the world's doctrines and how we all will be reunited together with our family and friends at the end of our lives. As I mentioned, I am a solitary eclectic witch. I have been drawn to Hecate and Bridget lately. I am hoping that you might be able to guide me to more deities that I could work with and or solitary rituals on death and dying that I can adopt to my own needs. I look forward to reading or hearing your response to my very long-winded question. Thank you for taking your time reading this. Brightest blessings, Amanda from Maine.
Thank you, Amanda, for that question. And I think it's much to be commended about facing mortality and thinking about what do I want in this next stage of life. And that's really, really wonderful. And I love the imagery that you just shared about the forest. And this is a journey through the forest. And I think the thing that sticks out to me thinking about that part of it as one part of this question is that it's not just at the end that we see the ancestors. And I think that can be something that could be worked with even in the now. And inviting them to participate with you and walk this last leg of the journey side by side, knowing that you have their support and that they are there for you and that they will definitely be there to help you in that end point for all of us in that transition when it becomes that time. I sit with hospice, I sit with my family. I have again and again and again felt the room grow crowded, and it is just, it is magical. Like, I think there is so much to that that if you ever get to experience, and we will all experience that on our own at some point, it's amazing. So I think, you know, be comforted if that is comfort to you. But I would say start asking them to show up and walk this leg with you and be open to their intercession. I would also say, work with who's showing up for you deity-wise. And I think you've got some two great allies right there. So Bridget and working with Hecate. Work with who shows up has sort of been my motto forever. There are certainly many death deities, but even if they're not death deities and you have a specific closeness to a spirit or a deity, they can still help you in that process. So start with who you know. You can be open and ask either those spirits that you work with to allow for somebody else to step forward that may be beneficial to you on this next part of the journey. You may start to just kind of have weird pulls to something. And I think when we have those pulls, just like when we have the ancestral, like brushing off of like, oh, is this somebody, my loved one in spirit? No, it's wishful thinking. No, it's probably them. If you have an inkling or a draw to someone, follow that. For me, I work very closely with Santa Muerte, but when this has been about 6 or 7 years now, I didn't know anything about her. I didn't know what she was, but I started to have weird dreams. I started to see images of her and I was like, why am I so drawn to this? I don't know what this is about. And then it became, oh, I understand this, and forged this really deep partnership. So it can look like something like that, but it's personal, I guess is what I want to say. To whoever, whatever you're working with, it's personal, let it be personal. If you want some suggestions for where to go for more information, actually, Tomas Prower came out with a book, Morbid Magic, within the last, I think, 6 months or so, or I can't remember, within the last year, I don't know what time it is or what day it is, all this quarantine stuff. He has done a really lovely job synthesizing different death deities and different practices and around death in different cultures. So that might be a good book to look at. Starhawk is a pagan book. Christopher Hughes, who I just adore and love, has a wonderful book, Journey into Spirit, and it's actually being re-released later this year, and I believe it is As the Last Leaf Falls. Perfect pagan reference for the process of death and different death traditions. So I would definitely check that out. Those are sort of my big ones that kind of come to mind around that. But I think make this personal for you and ask them to support you and then be open to receiving that validation and that assistance moving forward. So, and that can be, when we talk about ancestors, I think some people are like, is that our great, great, great grandmother? Is that, you know, all these, you know, people that have come way before? Yes, it's that. Yes. But it's also like, do you have any friends that are dead? Do you have any, you know, grandparents, the people that you know, asking them to support you and come through and be open to that as well, because all of that collective dead can aid and assist.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. And I think those book recommendations are going to be really, really helpful to Amanda. So
the other thing, and this is for everybody, so Amanda, this may be good for you, but it may be for other people. I know that people who are on the journey on a more short-term basis to the end of life, it's been helpful, but it's also for everybody, is death cafes or finding some place to have conversations around mortality. And some other good resources. So finding a local death cafe, it started in England. It's becoming more and more popular. They're unstructured, open discussion groups about anything goes around death. So we've been, Elsa Elliott, who's a wonderful lead Scorpio minister, and I've been doing that work for a few years now. And it's been really beneficial in our witchcraft and pagan community, but you might find them at your local library. They're in all kinds of interesting places. So looking at that, the Order of the Good Death is an amazing reference for all things deathy. Caitlin Dowdy, who's just absolutely amazing, who has multiple books. Ask a Mortician is on YouTube. So she has a lot of like death-oriented questions about logistics and processing of things. So less on the spiritual side, still some of that looped in there, but a lot of the practicality about planning. So that's something that we talk a lot about. And actually, we'll be focusing a lot of that right now about advanced directives and what do you want to have done with your body? How do you have those conversations with loved ones so that you can get honored in the way that is beneficial to you, but also alleviate the pressure and the challenge around people who are going to be taking care of you in that process? We've had really bad deaths in my family where we were not on the same page and it was chaotic and crisis. And we feel guilt and we feel, you know, did we do right by you because we weren't sure of your wishes? And we've had really powerful, great experiences where we had conversations prior to that person's death. So we knew exactly what they wanted. We were able to honor them in the way that they wanted. We felt secure and happy in that process because we had talked about it. So exploring your own views on how those things work is a process. Introducing them to your family. I do pumpkin pie and how do you want to die every Thanksgiving over dessert. And that took a long time to catch on, but it's been really beneficial to help me understand what my family wants and what I would want them to do for me. So doing things like that can be also really beneficial for everybody. So I would say explore those things too.
That's awesome. And it's funny that you had mentioned the death cafes because I actually had seen, I think that's here in New Orleans. I've seen those events and I think I had been meaning to go to a few when I had moved here, but I think there was like some weird stuff going on. Some were canceled and I just kind of forgot about it. Yep. So I'm really happy that you like re-reminded me and probably others that that is a thing around and we can experience it.
And we're about to, because we're quarantined, right? And so this, we may be in this for a while. And also, I think it's an important time to be, you know, maybe a difficult time, but still an important time to be thinking about these things and talking about it. We're going to be doing some online either death cafes or something in similar vein where there may be more guidance, because death cafes, you don't, it's a, the format is not informational. It's sort of just discussion based. We may be doing some pagan oriented, witchcraft oriented through the Temple of Witchcraft. Opportunities to explore those things. I'm actually starting a, like for part of Scorpio ministry, something called Dead Talks instead of TED Talks, where we'll be kind of exploring pieces of that, that may be beneficial for people to kind of explore from a witchy perspective. But then also having discussion groups that are separate of that, to kind of talk about it from a witch perspective and how do we confront our mortality as witches?
So this was really helpful. And thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you on the big old internet?
Yes. So thank you. Thank you for having me. This is fun. I love talking about this. DanielleDionne.com. So DanielleDionne.com. is my personal website. Moth and Moon Studio is my spiritual education center, although it is, you know, a scary time for small business owners. We host lots of different paths, different spiritualities. We bring a lot of, if you're interested in spiritualism and mediumship, we do a lot of mediumship-focused development work with a lot of folks from England and kind of all over the world. So we're fortunate in that regard, but also focus on witchy things there as well. And that's in both places you can find out about if you're interested in readings. I also do spiritual mentorship programs. So if this is something that you're wanting to develop, we can do a more personal tailored approach where we can A, focus on the mediumship development side, but also like maybe if there are other components to your spiritual process, witchy focused, we can work in that regard. So I really enjoy that work as well. And then templeofwitchcraft.org is another great resource. I'm very connected to them. So if you're interested in the Scorpio ministry work, there's a lot of references and resources on their page. So I think it's just templeofwitchcraft.org/ministry/Scorpio. You'll find it on there, but it has all of the, it has a lot of the things that we talk about in our community and try to rally around regarding death and spiritual care, end of life, death, dying, and bereavement resources, but also ancestral connections and practices that you can do. So check that out. Oh, and I have a book coming out. End of the year, Magical Mediumship, Partnering the Dead, Partnering with the Ancestors for Healing and Spiritual Development. So lots of my techniques for how you do that development work. How do you partner with them? How do you do ancestral healing and working with your lineage? And also I have a lot of references around psychopomp work, but then also how do we do natural death care? And how do we do that from a witch's perspective, pagan perspective? So different recipes, different processes, rituals that can be done on that front as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was fun.
Thank you for tuning in this morning, witches. If you have any questions, witch fails, or want to learn about advertising, you can email us at thewitchdailypodcast@gmail.com or head on over to our website, witchdailyshow.com. We also now have a private Facebook group. Just search Witch Daily Show. If you want to support us, head over to patreon.com/witchdailyshow. I hope you all have a wonderful day filled with magic, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning.